This is a Triple J podcast.
Prescription pills, it was alcohol, it was ice, it was G.
That may be the view of young people, it's not the view of our government.
If I don't meet a girl, it's pretty hard to tell her that I'm uncontactable.
To connect, to have a good time, to dance it off like nobody's watching.
This is going to have an effect for generations to come.
Hack. It's Friday, which means it is shake-up time on Hack, and it couldn't come too soon. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm Dave Marchese. Thank you so much for being here. We can start by rating this week 1 to 10. I'll start. I'm going to say it was about an 8 for me. Not the best I've had, but pretty good. And probably because I'm feeling that end-of-year energy starting to carry us through to the final weeks. But there's still news happening, and we're going to talk about it now because there's been plenty going on over the past few days. Here's a bit of a taste of what's coming up.
Hack.
Quiet piggy. It's so demeaning a word, isn't it?
Just boil.
They stated that it was the little sis of Sky Sports, created specifically for female sports fans.
A venue in Greater Manchester is getting backlash after posting about their policy banning solo drinkers from entering after 9 p.m.
On Triple J.
Yeah, coming up later, I want to know, have you heard this story about a bar in the UK banning solo drinkers? Like, the bar is worried that people entering by themselves going to annoy others, going to need a bit of babysitting, so they're saying, no, you're not allowed. After 9 p.m, only people in a couple or groups can come in. What do you think of this? And also, what is the most memorable experience you think you've had on a solo night out? Something that you really remember fondly? Message in 0439 757 555. That is coming up soon. But first, the shake-up crew for this week, and joining me in the Hack studio, political reporter with the Daily Telegraph, Jessica Wang. Hello.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm well. How are you feeling about the weekend? You feeling good?
Good. Just glad the week's over.
It's been a big one, hasn't
slow
it?
Slow crawl to Christmas.
It is. Do you have quite a bit of work to do before the Christmas break?
I think I owe about 8 stories for the shutdown period, so I'll get it.
That's
crack on
fine.
That.
You can bang those out
that's
on Monday.
That's Monday's problem.
Yeah. Big plans for the weekend. What are you up to?
Oh, gosh. I've got birthday drinks tonight. Which
okay.
Is great.
That's
easing
nice.
In. And then, I don't know, the weather's not great. I'm in Sydney. I normally am in Canberra. Now I'm in Sydney, and it's not living up to its expectations weather-wise, but we'll see.
You came to the Harbour City for the beautiful weather. Mm. It has disappointed you on this occasion. Sydney side is very sorry about that. Let's check in with how it is in Canberra, though, because we have another political reporter, because we love them. We love them much more than Donald Trump does. I've got a second one from Parliament House in Canberra, Dominic Giannini from AAP. Hello, Dom.
Hey, Dave. How you going?
What's the weather like?
Not as great here either. It's pretty overcast. I think it looks like it's going to rain.
Okay. I want to hear from people in really sunny spots of Australia. If you're in far north Queensland and it is beautiful, if you're up in the top end somewhere, in the Territory, you're in WA, let me know. If you've got good weather that Jess and Dom would be craving right now, let us know where you are. Dom, this week, has it been chaotic for you?
It's been pretty chaotic here at Parliament. It's been a lot of infighting, but that's not that exciting. So it's been chaotic, but not rewarding,
okay.
If that makes sense.
Okay, understood. The politicians, when do they go on holidays?
2 more weeks, I think. Jess can correct me if I'm wrong. I think we got a city week and then everyone pisses off back to... back to home in a couple of weeks' time.
Okay, so just a little bit more time to go. Hey, what have you thought of the news this week? Because there's quite a few stories. Are you excited for this shake-up, Dom?
Oh, I'm always excited for the shake-up, Dave.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear it. Well, let's get started.
Hack. He gets frustrated with reporters when you lie about him, but he also is the most transparent president in history.
On Triple J.
Yeah, you know who has also had a really big week? The US president. Doing his best to deflect attention from all the scrutiny over the Epstein files, deciding they should be released. And he's also been beefing with journalists, as usual, calling for him to answer questions, the journos. He's calling them piggies.
Hack.
Quiet piggy.
That is disgusting.
The president is very frank and honest.
What it is, fundamentally, is it's silencing. And he doesn't do it as much to the men.
The House overwhelmingly voted to release the full files relating to the Jeffrey Epstein investigation.
This is his first major political defeat.
I think you are a terrible reporter.
9/11 families are furious that you are here in the Oval Office.
You don't have to embarrass our guest by asking a question like that.
On Triple J.
Yeah, the Epstein files. Will this story die down after they're released, or do you think that there is a lot more to come out? Also, what do you think of Donald Trump calling a journalist piggy? Are you surprised? How would you react if the president called you that? Message in 0439 757 555. Hearing from you on Hack's Instagram, someone saying it's blatant misogyny on full display. Beck says, imagine being stuck on a plane with the US president and he called you piggy. And someone else says, this is genuinely absurd. All right, that's the shake-up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese. Just three piggies here getting into the news of the week. Political reporter Jessica Wang, Dom Giannini with me as well. Jess, what do you make of Donald Trump's decision here about the Epstein files? Is that a bit of a backflip?
I mean, I think given Trump, he likes to control the narrative. That's something that we see him do a lot. And once he saw that it was inevitably, he was going to lose the vote, I think that was sort of a backtracking. So he doesn't look like he's been caught on the back foot. Mm. I reckon that's sort of what he did. He now has 30 days. The government has 30 days to release them. And I reckon they're going to be pretty heavily redacted.
Yeah. It's interesting how this could play out, Dom. Is this something you think is going to go away anytime soon?
No, I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon. I think we were talking about it months ago when I was back here again. It's just something that has plagued the administration since it came into office, and even before, because they made such a big deal about it when he was campaigning and his base is so fired up about it that it's just not going to go away and they're not going to be satisfied until essentially everything's out there in the open.
Jess, do you think Donald Trump can escape unscathed here with this whole Epstein files saga? Like, do you think his MAGA base is starting to turn on him a little bit, or he will kind of come out of this pretty unaffected?
I think history would tell us that he manages to survive a lot. It'll have to depend, I reckon, you know, on what's in the Epstein files themselves, like an association with Epstein, which we know sort of has, there's links, the link has obviously been made in the files. That's not, you know, I don't think that's enough to sort of either end his presidency or anything like that. But it'll have to depend. But I think it's we're seeing sort of there's momentum for accountability. I think that's the interesting bit, and we'll see whether it gets to a tipping point. I mean, his base love him, but I think it sort of fans the flames of outrage.
Dom, do you think that anyone's going to be, or people are going to be satisfied with whatever's released, or do you think that maybe there's always going to be this lingering questions and people thinking that there was a cover-up?
I don't think anyone's going to be truly satisfied, or there will be people that won't be truly satisfied, because there are investigations ongoing, which is why some of the content will be withheld once that 30 days is up. So there'll be sustained pushes for more to come out. There'll be more investigations that'll last years. Some of these massive cases that involve, you know, a bunch of evidence. So, and then there's so much disinformation around it as well. There's so much conspiracy theories floating around it as well. So some people, you just won't be able to change their minds. They'll always think there's a cover-up in some aspect.
Yeah. Look, we've got some messages coming through on the text line. Someone is saying Trump is obviously popular or he would not have won twice. People also messaging in about his call of a journalist piggy, that remark that's made headlines around the world. Someone says Trump is a child. Another person says, if he called me piggy, I'd call him the big bad wolf. Okay, I want to get on to that because it was such a bizarre headline, but I guess we're probably used to these bizarre headlines around Trump and his dealings with the media, Jess.
I didn't realise he had called other female journalists piggy before that. So that wasn't the first time, which
right.
I was surprised about. I think his whole tactic is to, you know, when he's caught out or he's asked a question he doesn't want to, he sort of goes into this sort of big man sort of mode, and he'll just fight back, and that becomes a headline instead of the actual response to the question.
How do you think, like, you would react in a situation where a leader that you're trying to interview has called you a name? Like, has that ever happened to you?
I have to say it's never happened with an Australian politician.
Okay.
Sometimes you'll ask them a question and you'll want them to give you an answer. I've always been caught out when they've just given like a yes or no, like, and it sort of just stuns you at that time because you're like, are you going to say anything else? I reckon if somebody went off at me in a press conference, I'd probably be stunned. I don't know how well I'd be able to sort of react, but in the back of my mind, I'd be like, this is a story for another day.
Yeah, okay, probably. Dom, what do you think of this whole Piggy story? It's got a lot of people creating memes, having a bit of a laugh, but it's also a bit serious as well in terms of treatment of people, respect, all the rest of it.
Oh, yeah, the memes are always welcome, but it's such a bad moment, and journalists are under attack, I mean, everywhere, and I don't think we're going to get too much sympathy here from people, neither would politicians, but it's so bad when they target you rather than the questions. Like, not only do you not want to become the story, but it was, you know, it's misogynistic in many instances. It's belittling, and, like, it takes away from what they're trying to do, which is hold him accountable. And I'd love to say I'd be above retorting if I was in that position, but I feel like I just have a crack back.
Yeah. Oh, you think you wouldn't be able to help yourself, Dom?
Like, I don't know. A lot of you wants to stay professional and just move on, and then another part of you just wants to have a crack back.
There was another interaction with another journalist to do with Trump this week, where this journalist was in the Oval Office and questioning Donald Trump about his family's relationship with Saudi Arabia, and Donald Trump got quite upset with his interaction and said that she was a really horrible journalist and she was fake news and all the rest of it. And I really reflected on her just taking all of that and just being really focused with the question and she kept asking the questions. Jess, it must be a lot of stress that these journalists are under to get their questions through and to make sure they're getting answers as well.
And that, I absolutely agree with that. And you also have to think that before he actually gets to your question, you're also fighting with a whole room full of journalists to get your questions in. So that can often be one of the more stressful parts of the press conference. Mm. And then he hits you with a personal insult. And I think it just shows his pattern of deflecting. Like, he's just, and like in that moment, you know that he's not engaging with your question because he has nothing. So I think it's so impressive that she managed to sort of keep her calm and just fight back.
Yeah, we've got some messages coming through on the text line. Someone says, I don't really expect the Epstein files will be released in full and unredacted. Too many high-profile people would be caught up. Another person says, this will be the turning point, as even the MAGA base want these files released. In terms of the relationship with the media, it's interesting because we received a message from someone earlier today saying, oh, I thought the Piggy comment was kind of funny because I think a lot of us hate mainstream media journalists deep down. And, you know, that's a pretty brutal comment, but it also got me thinking, Dom, do you think there are a lot of people out there who really do just love seeing journos being taken down?
They do, just like they do politicians. I think there's a difference between engaging with what a journalist or an organisation does and then attacking the person themselves. So you can absolutely engage with their argument, or you can make accusations that they're too left-wing or too right-wing or have a bias, but, you know, maybe don't attack the person, because it also just shows you don't have a very good argument if you've got to go call someone a piggy because you can't answer a question. Mm. So, you know, maybe we just kind of move away from the personal attacks and engage with the argument. If you don't like mainstream media, that's fine, but, you know, maybe there's a more respectful way to do it.
Maybe there's a more respectful way to do it. And look, if you haven't seen those interactions, they're up there for you to look at. There's lots of coverage of them, especially that one in the Oval Office and, you know, the journalists asking questions to the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia too. There's a whole backstory there that's worth checking out. We've got a lot of messages on the text line now. Someone says, really looks like Trump is trying to cover himself and his rich friends. Mel from Albury says his comments undermine the important role of the press. Another person person, another Mel actually from the Central Coast, says Donald Trump's behaviour is completely inappropriate. If I said something like that to a colleague in my workplace, I would be hauled in front of HR. And another person says Trump calling that Geno a piggy is a weak attempt to divert public attention away from the Epstein files. Someone else though just says, why did the Geno ask such a dumb question? So look, you can't please everyone. We're going to move on.
Hack. La boo boo, matcha, hot girl walk. As a young lady, I only read words that are written in pink font. You know what I mean?
On Triple J.
Yeah, it was pitched as a sports TikTok account for the girlies, but was over just days after it was launched. Sky Sports Halo, promising a lot to women interested in sport. But in the end, this TikTok channel was deleted after being slammed as patronising and unbelievably sexist.
Hack. Sky Sports announced their new initiative, Halo, a new content platform primarily targeted towards women.
Armed with only patronising memes and a dream.
Talking about labubus, hot girl walks, matcha.
Putting this is a field goal in pink lettering and think, oh, doesn't that make sense now?
But it has gone down awfully.
First few posts weren't even about female athletes, they were about male athletes.
The correct word is sexist.
One of the biggest catastrophes in sports marketing.
Halo has been shut down.
They issued an apology stating that they have missed the mark.
I actually couldn't read this post. The writing, it's not in pink.
On Triple J.
Yeah, what do you think of the controversy around this Sky Sports Halo TikTok channel? Shut down after just a few days for being patronising to women's sports fans. Message in 0439757555. Hearing from you on the text line on Hack's Instagram too. It is The Shake Up. I'm Dave Marchese, getting into the news of the week with Dom Giannini from AAP. Jessica Wang from the Daily Telegraph. Jess, how did the Sky Sports channel miss the mark so much here? What do you reckon?
I think, I don't know why you would set up a female, you know, you're trying to grow young audiences, young female audiences. I think they just lent in too hard on the stereotypes. And it's curious because if you're trying to create a sports page, you're somewhat speaking to people with an interest in sports. Just maybe the labubu, matcha, hot girl walk. It
was a lot of cliches. And for a channel that had launched saying we're all about sports, championing female athletes, we're here for the culture, community, connection. We don't just watch sports, we live it. And then, you know, highlighting, a lot of people are saying, a lot of male athletes too on the page in its first few hours was maybe a bit off the mark. Dom, what did you make of all this?
Oh, it was so bad. It's like they got the oldest executives they could find and said, what do you think a girl likes? And they came up with pink font, matcha, hot girl walk, and they I think they just went to, like, I don't know, like an Urban Dictionary and typed in fancy slang or like what do young people say and try to make a TikTok out of it. Mm-hmm. And
didn't work.
Terrible.
Didn't work. Jess, are you a sports fan?
I mean, I like to jump on a bandwagon. Like, okay. So, I like to watch the Matildas when
Would
when
you
they
have followed
here.
This channel? Like, if you saw it, would you be like, oh, okay, like, this is something that I might be interested in before it got a bit hectic?
Look, probably, I don't know if I would have. I don't know if it's necessarily my audience, but I do love hearing amazing stories about, I mean, female and male sports athletes. But, like, I just think there's so many great issues they could have touched on and really sort of explored, like the gender pay gap in sport or just profiling amazing athletes. And it's disappointing they didn't lean into that more, I think.
Yeah. Dom, do you think the intention was good here or do you think it was like just always doomed to fail? Like it could never have worked in this format.
No, I actually quite like the intention to profile women's sports and, like, you know, shine a light on some of the amazing things that, you know, the Matildas are doing overseas in the EPL and, you know, across all different sports. But we don't need to dumb it down. We don't need to be patronising. We can just see them as athletes and maybe just give them recognition for their amazing talents.
Yeah, let's have a listen to what some Hack listeners think. This is Edie.
The content and calling it Sky Sports Little Sister was really belittling and condescending of all the accomplishments of women athletes. I think that this kind of culture is really harmful to women's sport.
Okay, this is what Ellis had to say.
I looked at their channel when it was available and half of the stuff was talking about men's sport anyway. It didn't wasn't really a women's channel at all.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of similar comments to that on the text line as well. And finally, here are Serena's thoughts.
This one's kind of a double-edged sword. So for female athletes who want to be taken seriously, it's kind of condescending. But in the same boat, watching sports is a space that's really hard for young females to break into. So I guess campaigns like this make it a little more accessible. I think it's just kind of poor execution.
Okay, so it kind of felt like Serena's point there, Jess, was that it is hard for women to engage in sports sometimes, maybe because the way the media focuses on sports at the moment is a bit too blokey. It is too focused on men. Are there any things that you think might be able to switch that up a bit, make it more accessible?
I think Serena had a really nuanced take. Like, sometimes I read sort of sports journalism and it's so full of sort of, you know, the specific languages of the sport, and at the end of the day, I just want to know who scored what goal, like if somebody did something really cool. Like, I think those bits, like, that appeals to a much wider audience. In terms of sort of, like, I think they could have explored the issues in female sport and how it compares to sort of men's sport. There's so much ground they could have covered.
And stop chasing trends, maybe, Dom.
Yeah, like, I mean, all you have to do is just, I mean, show it, right? We've got the NRLW, which is getting a lot of free-to-air coverage, which is fantastic. When news agencies and stuff cover sports bulletins, you know, we can include the amazing stuff that the Aussies do in the EPL as well, along with all the other scores, which I know a lot of people do. I just saw, you know, Ellie Carpenter's highlights. So, I mean, I don't think it's a difficult thing just to promote women's sports. I just don't think we have to do it with pink text.
Okay, the pink text has got to go, according to Dom and according to Jess, I think. We've got a lot of messages on the text line. Someone says Sky Sports obviously had men making these decisions. There are some amazing pages on socials run by women. Sports marketing does need to be made more equitable. All right, we're going to move on. We are getting a lot of messages in, by the way, guys, about the weather in different parts of the country. People who are letting us know where it is quite beautiful. Hobart is beautiful today, apparently. Sweating balls in Perth, someone says. Adam says, very, very sunny and warm here in North East Tassie. And Nicole says, it's really nice here in Bendigo as well. So parts of the country, really bad weather. Parts of the country, really good weather. Going to move on.
Hack. So I guess what he's really trying to say, basically, if you try to go to a bar on your own, you're a loser.
On Triple J.
Yeah, if you're a person who likes going out by yourself, bad news, because there's a bar in the UK that doesn't want you. There are some news stories, aren't there, that you almost skip over because you just assume they're not real. And for me, this was one of them. A bar in the UK riling up people all over the world for denying single entry after 9 p.m. So why can't people go to this bar by themselves? Well, apparently because they're a bit annoying.
Hack. Should people going to bars alone be banned after a certain time?
Unless you're with a group, then you're not coming in.
His bar, his rules. But he's providing a service for people who don't want to be annoyed by that person who's gotten too drunk and they're looking for someone to talk to.
The rule is there for the safety of all guests.
I just think people that do it are pathetic.
If you're not taking yourself on solo dates, single or taken, you need to start.
I'm taking myself on a solo movie date.
Being comfortable with your own company.
Take yourself on dates. On Triple J.
Yeah, what do you think of this? A bar in the UK denying entry to people who are out alone. Also, what is the most memorable experience you've had out on a solo night? And what do you like to do alone? Message in 0439757555. Already hearing from a lot of you on Hack's Instagram. Someone says, I go to gigs alone. It's a really nice way to decompress after a very stressful week. Someone else? Everything. I'm single AF. I do everything by myself, okay? Dion says, whatever the hell I want, leave us introverts alone. All right, Dion. It's a shake-up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, joined by political reporters Dom Giannini and Jessica Wang. Jess, is this an attack on single people?
I think it's a bit unnecessary. Like, Carl sounds like not a very fun person.
The owner of the bar.
A bit of a buzzkill. Yeah. It's a bit nanny state behaviour. I don't love it. And the other thing about this is that if you need a friend to come and bring you in after 9 o'clock, what happens if they're not answering their phone? Like, I'm awful past, like, mate, 9:30. You're definitely not getting a message from me.
The phone's in the bag. You're not seeing anything. Yeah, right.
Surely that's more dangerous for personal safety.
Yeah, maybe. Dom, what do you think of this bar? Do you think it's could be a good thing or not into it?
No, this sucks. Like, I mean, so if the point is you're going to harass people, one, I feel like the most annoying people are groups, especially if you have, like, a group of loud, drunk dudes. And then if you, on the annoying track, why don't we ban everyone who brings their kids to pubs at, like, after seven, you know? Maybe I just want to enjoy a drink without a four-year-old running around the beer garden. Where do you draw the line?
Wait for the text line to explode.
Let's
now.
Attack dogs as well while we're at it.
Yeah. Dogs. I don't mind a dog in the beer garden, but like, where do you draw the line? And like, if you're traveling by yourself, or if you want to meet friends, or I mean, even if you just want to get a drink, and a lot of people read books at bars. Like,
Do you ever do this, Dom? Do you ever go to a bar alone?
Oh yeah, to watch like the footy or something. If I don't want to just sit on the couch and have a beer by myself, you can go down to the pub, and there's supporters there, so you know you make friends. I'm not one of those people that would read in the beer garden, but a lot of people are, and good luck to them.
I'll do that every now and then. I'll take a book. Do you go, Jess?
Yeah, look, I'm more of a cafe, solo cafe girl. I did one time go into a bar by myself, got very bored there, mentioned to the bartender, I don't understand why people do this. He tried to introduce me to other people, and it turned out it was a guy I went on a Hinge date a year and a half ago.
Oh, no.
So I haven't actually done that since.
Bad experience. Yeah. We've got people on the text side now. Someone says, I promised myself this year I wouldn't miss out on an event if I had no one to go out with. So far, I've seen Sam Fender next year, Team Jesus and the Gene Teasers. That's great. A lot of people saying that they go to gigs by themselves. Another person says, I often go places alone. I tend to date introverts. And if I go to a club, I just want to dance. Someone else says, find a new bar. Don't give places that make controversial decisions the time of day. We're also hearing people on Hack's Instagram. This is Daniel.
It takes a little bit for me to get into it, but like if the crowd's good, the music's good, then it's a good time and you end up speaking to people, meeting people that you probably wouldn't have before. And I've noticed that I actually prefer now going out by myself.
Okay, that's Daniel, who loves to go to the club by himself. This is Bryony.
I love going to the movie solo. It's great, especially if there's a movie that I want to watch that my friends don't want to watch. I can pick my own movie, I can pick my own seats, I can pick my own snacks. It's great. I started going alone back when I worked at a cinema as a teenager. I realised how many people actually went to the movies alone and realised it's not such a weird thing to do things by yourself.
Yeah, the movies alone feels like it's not that controversial. Jess, have you been to the movies alone by yourself?
I love nothing more than like a solo 2 p.m. Yeah, day afternoon movie session.
That
I think
seems
it's so satisfying.
Okay. It's like you're not talking. It's absolutely fine. Here's Tom on Instagram.
So living in Melbourne really taught me how to do things on my own. Like going to the pub with a book over a few quiet wines or a few quiet pints, take myself to the movies or to a nice dinner on my own. There's something really nice about just observing, being a really respectful fly on the wall while everyone else is connecting in a real super social settings.
Okay, nice. You've also got plenty of people on the text line saying they hate kids in beer gardens. So, Dom, you've got some support on the text line, I must say that. Do you think, Dom, this could be the end of, like, meeting people out at bars? Like, are you someone who, when you've been travelling and stuff, have met a lot of people just out and about, you know, at a bar by yourself?
I do meet a lot of people when I travel. I don't think it's the end of meeting people at bars because, I mean, especially when you go out with mates, I guess it makes it a little bit easier if you're trying to make friends or talk to different people rather than being by yourself and trying to break into a group. But the other thing is, you know, if there's a few different people by themselves, that's how you make friends as well, right? Like, you can approach different people, you can have a chat. I don't think it's going to be the end of people rocking up to bars by themselves. I just think this this pub is probably going to fall out of the media pretty soon.
Bit of controversy. I mean, the bar owner did say, I am a bit surprised because I actually introduced this a while back and now it's taken hold. So I'm a bit surprised because initially I was thinking, is this just a bit of rage baiting? Like, is this to get a bit of publicity? Because we've been seeing some businesses online doing that lately, but apparently not. Apparently this has been in place for a little while, this rule, and people who go to the bar say it's very friendly and we like it. People on the text line are saying, I'm on the road full time and solo. I wouldn't do it any other way. Another person says, my friends hate techno and trance, so I go to raves alone and make new friends every single time. Someone else says, I went to a venue in Melbourne and got told no entry if I wasn't with anyone. Right. So that's happening here. And someone else says, my best...
Name and shame.
Yeah, name and shame, name and shame. Someone else says, my best big nights out are alone. I don't have to worry about anyone. All right, so a lot of people are doing it. It's not controversial and people are having fun. We love that. That is all for the shake-up for now. Big thanks to our guest, Jessica Wang from the Daily Telegraph. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me anytime, Dave.
It was such a pleasure. And Dom Giannini from AAP, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Good luck with the huge week, both of you, in politics. It's going to be absolutely chaotic, and I'm so glad I'm not you. So have a good time. Big thanks to the hardworking Hat Crew as well, executive producer Stephen Smiley, our radio producers Eva Blakemore and Angel Parsons, reporters Shalala Medora, April McLennan, Ariana Lachente, Alessandro Jackson Worthington and Grace McKinnon.